Arlen Wasserman is a food sustainability expert, the founder of Changing Taste. He's advised food and agriculture companies, private foundations, and government agencies, and he is in Kalamazoo to deliver the keynote address at the Kalamazoo Valley Community College Foundation's Opportunities for Education Dinner. Arlen Wasserman, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Your talk here is titled, Changing Taste, Health, Sustainability, Food, and the Future of the Culinary Profession. If someone wants to get into the food business in some way, perhaps food preparation, perhaps working for a company like Kellogg, what is their future?
Well, it's really an unexpectedly wonderful time to be in the food industry. And if you think about being in any industry, it's actually been an unexpectedly wonderful time since 2007. Since the economic downturn, the food sector has continued to create jobs in the U.S. Every quarter, more people are working in food service, in food production, in food manufacturing. And the food sector is also an industry where you can get in with relatively modest training and education compared to many other fields. So a growing field with modest educational requirements is a great job opportunity. The challenge, of course, is that what we eat is really important to our health and the health of our planet. So having better training not just in how to grow food or chop food or cook food, but how to choose the food you give to other people is really the next challenge for us, and why I was so happy to be a part of today's event.
You can get into the food industry with very little education, but what are the opportunities for you to advance if you don't have some sort of post-high school education or training?
It's like many other industries. The more training or experience you have, the better job you get. Some food operations are very, very small. Having great business savvy and the ability to manage your workforce, whether that's your wait staff or the group of people who are helping you, you know, deliver food to the grocery stores that you've all made together or manufactured together, is critical. And in very big companies, the better either your technical skill in health, nutrition, food safety, or in business, the better your career opportunities are.
You mentioned that food quality has now become a major concern. You know, this, as you have written about and talked about, this is tied in with things like the environment and health. If you were looking to influence public policy broadly, could you pick a better field to get into than food safety?
Than food safety?
Food safety or food sustainability.
You probably couldn't get into a better sector than food health and sustainability. The rough numbers, they change from month to month, is this. In the past 12 months, the U.S. economy was roughly $16.2 to $16.3 trillion. We spent about 18%, $2.6, $2.8 trillion on health care costs. 70% of that was to treat lifestyle diseases. More than two-thirds of that has to do with what we've eaten. There's $1.6 to $1.8 trillion of savings that we can deliver through better food choices. Food also uses more water than any other industry. The reason we're having problems growing food in California is a drought. There's no surprise there. And, you know, we've learned whether you look at more conservative numbers coming out of the U.S. government, or if you look at the global numbers coming out of the World Bank, not that much of a progressive institution. We know that the food industry is responsible for somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% to more than half of all greenhouse gas emissions in the world.
You were at one time a vice president of sustainability at Sodexo. How much of this comes down to corporate responsibility, and how much should we, the public, trust corporations to do the right thing when it comes to food?
Well, the short answer is we are trusting corporations to serve us better food. Every year, with a few statistical and significant variations, we've been spending a larger share of our food dollars on meals or recipes designed by culinary professionals and choosing to buy fewer ingredients to assemble and cook at home. So we've made that choice.
We're eating out more.
We're eating out more. We're eating at work and school more. We are picking up food that's prepared to eat at home. most people don't think about it, but there is a recipe behind a rotisserie chicken. We're no longer buying a whole chicken and deciding how much salt to put in ourselves, or whether that chicken is free-range, antibiotic-free, or fed organic feed. We're just buying a chicken to eat. And all of those other decisions were made by a culinary professional in the business they work at. What I think is really interesting is that while very large companies, and this isn't just true in the food industry, have a hard time changing what they do. They may add things on, but when even a even if your business isn't growing that fast and selling something like sugar-sweetened beverages, it's hard to turn away from $20 or $30 billion in sales. But the fastest-growing companies are the new ones, who have high-quality ingredients, more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, less meat, less sugar, more authenticity as the basis for what they do. And whether it's the emergence of things like cold-pressed juices or all the companies that have followed Chipotle and scratch cooking in their own restaurants, the fastest growth is in the type of food that's going to be healthier for us and healthier for the planet.
I asked that question in part because the former CEO of Kellogg, Carlos Gutierrez, was here recently, and he was very critical of a lot of the federal agencies regulating food. Now, you've worked on the corporate side, but you've also advised government agencies. I'm wondering what sort of balance you see, what sort of role should there be in the federal government or even state governments, perhaps, putting a regulatory leash on?
I think regulation and the soft power of government is critical. More people at all income. We're spending more of our dollars on fresh fruits and vegetables, especially in the lower income households, than ever before. That's the soft power of the White House. I truly believe that Mrs. Obama has been a powerful force in telling everyone they need to feed their kids more fruits and vegetables, even when you're living on modest means. Mandatory calorie labeling. We might not get into all of the nutritional requirements, but it makes people think twice before they eat a sandwich, knowing that if they eat that sandwich or that quesadilla or that slice of pizza, they better not eat again that day because it's 1,000 calories or more. I piloted calorie labeling at Sodexo before it was required in our corporate dining hall, and it actually changed the decisions the companies made when the executives realized how unhealthy some of the food was, that a sandwich could be more than half their day's calories and 100% of their sodium and fat. I think it is an astonishing shortcoming that in the nutrition labels, and I know that we can't show one here on the radio, but when you look at the current nutrition labels, you can see how much sugar there is. But there is a recommended daily allowance for a lot of the components, fat, total calories. The U.S. government will not publish a recommended daily allowance for sugar. On the other hand, there's another big soft power piece, which is that the federal government is a huge buyer of food and food service for the military, and for government agencies, and they could change the industry by changing the requirements of what goes in food. Walmart is doing that by requiring less sodium in some canned products and boxed products, and that'll cause all canned products and boxed products to have less sodium. You're not going to make two different, you're not going to run two factories. The federal government could do much more. We can talk about farm policy another time, though.
Right. Yeah, interesting, though, that you mentioned that the consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables is up, even amongst low-income households, because I think anyone who has attempted to eat healthier reaches the conclusion at some point that it's cheaper to not eat so well, that it's more expensive to try to eat healthier. Fresh fruits and vegetables cost more. A gallon of milk will cost you much more than a 2 liter of soda pop. Are there things we could do there, public policy-wise, or perhaps putting pressure on corporations? I mean, where do we get at the cost issue?
Yeah, it's a mix. You know, certainly instead of the gallon of soda pop, you could just drink water for free, or for your utility bill at a couple pennies a gallon, and be healthier for it. I also think that there's a lot, and I'm very excited about the community engagement aspect of the KVCC project to educate homeowners or home cooks about what to buy in the grocery store during what times of year so it will last longer and not spoil as quickly. One of the reasons why it's more expensive to eat fresh fruits and vegetables is because we might not be buying them at the point in their life cycle after the farm when they're going to last a while, or we don't know how to store them, or we don't know in what order to cook what we've bought, that we have to eat the tender greens before the heartier greens. We just eat what we feel like that night if you're really trying to manage on a budget. There's been a number of studies that show a healthy meal is not necessarily any more expensive. One of the things that's made a lot of news nationally also is, of course, the rapid decline in the cattle herd size in the U.S. and the rapid rise in the price of beef. One of the least healthy things we can eat. Eat it in moderation and you save money and have more money for other stuff.
You mentioned that we're eating more pre-prepared food. And if that's not going to change, let's say that things level off if we're fortunate.
Yeah.
Should we be looking closely at how that food gets prepared, what sort of processes it goes through, and how it gets ultimately through that process to the plate in front of us?
I think that we need to decide to do business with companies that are very forthcoming about all of those things. I don't think that we should do our own research every time we eat and every time we pull something off the grocery store shelf. We wouldn't have time for much else. But we should trust companies that don't just have a healthy option or are philanthropic, but that actually print their whole ingredient list and the origins of the products. There are a lot of companies that do that. A lot of companies that do that on their label now, they're the faster-growing companies, smaller but faster-growing companies. I think that the rise of the culinary professional and our desire to have good choices made, but made on our behalf by others who have the time and the technical training and do this as their job, is where we're headed as a country. I also think, candidly, the food choices that the food service industry have provided us are both great ones and ones that will cause us not to reverse course. When you and I can walk out the street, you know, from where we're at and find pizza or a burrito or sushi or pho, if there's a Vietnamese restaurant anywhere here, or 100 things that would be delicious, relatively healthy, especially something like pho or sushi, and very difficult for us to prepare at home, including having all the ingredients at hand at any one time. I think that, you know, our children are expecting that we can go out and get anything at any time, and mom and dad are going to be scared to cook that. We now eat 2/3 of all the fish and seafood we eat as a country in restaurants or through food service, and only 1/3 cooked at home, because it's harder to get fish right. We get canned tuna and shrimp rings because we can't mess those up too much. So I think that we're on a trajectory of not cooking more at home. But we're also starting to vote with our dollars and say that big companies that have complex ingredient lists and treat food as if it's a set of components or commodities rather than food that came from specific places grown in specific ways, I think we're shifting to wanting to know more as shoppers, even as we're spending more as shoppers.
On the corporate side, is there going to be some cost with having to be more transparent? Perhaps, for one thing, there are certain ingredients that if you have to put them on the label, you may not use them, and maybe the substitutes do cost more.
Yeah, I think the move by big food companies to eliminate GMOs, notably General Mills' move there, maybe Kellogg's will or has followed suit, or Carlos' successor, you know, will do so, is a clear sign that there are certain technologies and products that the marketplace is rejecting. So there's a modest cost with doing that, but it's not huge. I also think that forthcoming piece doesn't just speak to ingredients. It also speaks to how our farm workers are treated. If your cocoa comes from a part of Africa where you know that children are enslaved, you might not buy that product. Maybe you're going to buy from the company that sources from Latin America where labor standards are better.
But as I've seen something from you point out, and I'm trying to remember the exact article I read this in, sometimes these things come into conflict. If you live in Michigan and you want to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, doing it in the winter is pretty tough. So the whole idea of buying local, therefore, kind of comes in conflict with the idea of eating fresh fruits and vegetables.
You know, we've been trading food globally for at least 10,000 years, and probably longer. It's the way we've developed our culture of food. And it shaped cultures. I don't think it's an either or. I don't think it's better to eat all local. I think it's important to make sure that there is a place on your plate and your menu for locally grown foods, for jobs, for economy, for biodiversity in your region, to protect the landscape. And in an era of climate change where each growing season gets more unpredictable, we will be more dependent on other regions that are having a good year at any time to make sure we can all eat. So I think that both local and sourced farther away but from well-managed farms are both important.
The subject of food has come up a lot in Kalamazoo recently. The author, Tracy McMillan, was here maybe 2 months ago, spoke at the Kalamazoo Public Library. And she is, I don't know if you're
Tracy's
familiar,
a good friend.
Yeah, and wrote an interesting book, which part of which happened here in Kalamazoo at a Walmart. But she made a couple of interesting observations about food, and she said that one of the reasons she wrote that book was that she feared that the idea of eating healthy was becoming this sort of liberal elitist idea and wasn't spreading to the population. Do you see some evidence that it's moved beyond that, beyond the stereotypes, and it sounds like some of what you're saying is that it's becoming something the general public's concerned about?
I think there's certainly a foodie culture. If you have you have to have a certain amount of, you know, wealth to spend a lot of time researching the origins of your dinner. Not everyone has those hours to spend each day. So I think the elitist part is now developing food knowledge. More well-to-do households are now spending more on their restaurant meal as a sign of affluence, where a decade ago they were spending more on fruits and vegetables. So I think the elitist part is now knowing a lot about food. I think there's a lot of ways to eat very healthy, of modest means, including modest time, which is why you don't want to be doing all the research to fact check the companies you do business with. You want to have them be transparent and then trust them. If they're putting their information only in a corporate responsibility report and not on the package or on the menu, you might want to take your business elsewhere.
And what's your impression of how that is working on the other side? You know, you mentioned that smaller companies seem to be doing better, but are the large corporations recognizing this and are they acting on it?
This is a question of change in the food industry, and here's what I see. Big food companies realize the need to change. They just don't know how to do it, and they're afraid to do it, because even though business isn't great, it could be worse. And even though the problems of climate change and water scarcity and obesity and diabetes are getting worse, senior executives may retire before they get worse on their watch. They can kick the can down the road a little bit. So it's hard to just turn to your workforce and you say, you know what? We're done selling cola. We're out of the business. But what's happening is the market for their products is shrinking. Soda consumption in the U.S. is just plummeting. People are drinking other beverages and eating other foods. And the smarter companies are now buying their smaller competitors who are doing healthier and more sustainable products. And doing so, they're diversifying their product line. But I think equally importantly, they're bringing in smart business people who will then infiltrate the company and start making better changes. Hopefully it will go faster than waiting for other people to retire. But I think that the change is now happening by starting a great company, having it do really well, and then having it be bought by a bigger company that can bring a better menu or better product to scale. And realize that the less healthy part of their business is in decline, and that the better ideas are happening outside of the corporate walls. So acquisition is the change model there.
Are you optimistic? You sound like someone who thinks this is moving in the right direction.
I have no other choice. I think that there are a lot of really big cracks showing in the industrial side of the food industry. The rapid spread of resistant diseases like in the pork industry in the U.S. and the shrimp industry in Southeast Asia, which provides the shrimp for most of the restaurants in North America, the drought in California, all are forcing companies to finally say, we have to do something different. And so change is going to happen a little faster. But it's caused extraordinary hardship for other countries where we've gone and bought their domestic food to keep our bellies full. Or companies have done that in the meantime, and it's only when it's finally become financially non-viable that they're moving faster. This could have happened earlier with much less pain and much less expansion of our waistlines and, you know, rise of diabetes and other lifestyle diseases. But I think movement's happening a little bit now. I still think there's a big section of the industry that will fight regulation and deny certain things tooth and nail, or blame it on lack of physical activity, or, you know, look, sugar-sweetened beverages are a minority of all calories, so let's focus on all other foods before you come to us. But I think there's movement in the right direction. It just should be a lot faster.
To follow up on what you mentioned there about lack of exercise, is there something to the fact that the American lifestyle is not conducive to a lot of walking? We tend to be in our cars a lot and those sort of things. And does that add on to the problem?
There's been a host of recent studies now, I can't cite them off the top of my head, but apologize for that, that show that it's not just a matter of calories in and calories out, that not all calories are equal. So what we eat is more important than how much we exercise. And in as much as we talk about our environment, does it cause us to walk or drive? Our environment also causes us to eat. So it is food on both sides of the equation.
Arlen Wasserman, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Arlen Wasserman is a food sustainability expert, the founder of Changing Tastes.